Anthem. Shit. I got bad news. Manowar is breaking up.
Oh, no. Yeah. After so many decades?
Well, they're doing a retirement tour, a going away tour. So I don't know what happened yet. I just found out from Razor Fist.
Oh, Lord.
Me and Razor Fist, we both listen to the same stuff. Black metal, Yngwie, Alcatraz, Fire and Ice era Yngwie, Manowar.
I like Fire and Ice. I like Fire and Ice. That was good Yngwie, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that was...
What? You didn't know that I like Yngwie Malmsteen?
Well, do you like Yngwie?
Yeah, I like Yngwie. One of my very first guitar teachers was very influenced by Yngwie, and I listened to him. I haven't listened to him in quite some time, truth be told. But and then, of course, I may have told you about what kind of shenanigans he's been up to.
Hey, look! I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well,
it's
welcome.
The best story I've ever heard, I will say that.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly webcast for news, commentary, and heavy metal. We are your resident musicians, a.k.a. Al, John, and Steven, also huge lifelong wrestling fans. And before we get into the huge week that was in wrestling news.
What a week.
Wrestling news, what a week. We were going to talk about the aftermath of Extreme Rules, how Jericho invented memes. We're going to talk about people leaving the company, people getting over on the company, people not being utilized by the company. We're going to be talking about all kinds of different junk today, but I want everyone to know that we really do appreciate you watching our show on YouTube and or listening to our podcast delivered. And both, by the way, are very different experiences. If you've noticed that the editing on the podcast simply done for entertainment sake,
right.
Okay, second there is a little different than the video podcast, but having said that, there I am saying that again.
That's our catchphrase.
I tell you, who else said that recently that thinks that's pretty annoying is Stone Cold. Stone Cold was on with Wade Keller talking about all the people leaving and the brand split and everything, and he said people get onto him for having said that phrase, and I just laughed because it's like we kill each other every week for saying that phrase.
Yeah, and then he talks about like his shotgun he just bought for 22 minutes.
Oh yeah, that's what he definitely talked about with Kevin. What was it, Paul, Big Show, and then the Big Show interview. He talked about that literally for 40 minutes. Talked about
no,
that.
It was Lesnar. Yeah. Oh God, they're like, oh, what kind of guns do you use? I'm like, gun scope. I don't know about gun scopes.
Oh yeah, yeah. You get Stone Cold talking about guns, man. I tell you. But
what kind of guns you like?
For hunting and blah blah blah. So, well, this definitely a podcast webcast is not about hunting. It is.
Hey, what kind of guns does Yngwie have?
I don't know if he's got guns.
Come on now, what kind of are you talking about?
I know what kind of guns.
Probably has like 75 or 80.
He's probably like the Scarface of heavy metals.
He's in Florida. I'll tell you that.
Okay, so thank you for listening to the show and watching us on YouTube.
I love you, Yngwie. I love you.
And thanks for also pointing out, noticing that the studio had been painted.
It's beautiful. It looks beautiful. Yeah,
it's definitely Prince inspired. You know. So
yeah, you know, I'm still trying to get down. I'm trying to figure out what happened with that the murder. But hopefully, it's a beautiful background that you have set up. I'm actually going to be changing this background. It's going to have a piece of art from a Russian artist.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. There you go.
Nice. Well,
lots of good wrestling info so far.
Well, there you go. Feed our need for redecorating our rooms by helping our show and program out. Not only do you watch it and listen to it, but you can also support it by shopping there at ProWrestlingCast.com. There we have our big Amazon link, and you can click on that banner and you can shop all to your heart's content. Get everything that you want or ever would need from Amazon, including maybe even a membership to Amazon Prime, so you can check out great TV shows and movies and different content as well. Now, anytime you do that, click on our banner first, because then it makes sure that Amazon says you support this show, and in return for your patronage and for our support or for our promotion of Amazon, they will give us a few cents in return as just a little bit of a thank you once again for keeping the show free every single week for you, like we have been doing now for about a year and a half. Over a year now. So we do appreciate that. The other thing you can do is you can even book your next vacation cruise with my wife, Kristen, at magicaljourneysvacations.com. Maybe some of you out there know this, coming over from our different podcasts that I host and produce every week. My wife is a certified Disney vacation planner, so she can help you save money on your next trip. It is time right now. And people are making trips out to Universal Studios and Disney parks everywhere, and she'll definitely save you money. I think the first time we ever used a travel agent with her company, her parent company, Magical Journeys, we saved about $1,500, which was really, really cool. So that money can be used to buy other things, not just art. For art, wrestling tickets, NXT merchandise, the new Finn Balor club t-shirt, whatever you want to call it. So definitely be sure to book your next any cruise you will. You can book a Carnival, you can book a Princess, Celebrity, the list goes on and on, Royal Caribbean, and of course Disney and Disney Universal trips by just clicking our link to magicaljourneysvacations.com, and my wife will specifically take care of you. And if you happen to go around the world, around the United States, and check out the different wrestlers doing different Comic-Cons and different things like that, which we will have more great, I don't know if you know this, but Steve and I do have plans on including a lot of wrestler interviews and live cons that I'll be covering.
And you probably will get a slew of now former WWE wrestlers on there.
Yeah, I definitely. I think I'm going to first start with Mick Foley talking about comics, which will be really nice.
So, oh, good. We could talk a bit about a Shane McMahon thing that happened too. I forgot.
Absolutely, we're definitely going to talk about that. So,
and you're buddies with him. You have a picture with him on the
I would say tour. I wouldn't say we're buddies, but I have met the hardcore legend, WWE Hall of Famer, and he was very, very nice, and one of the nicest men in the industry of sports entertainment. I have not met a single person that was not genuinely nice. I think Hacksaw Jim Dunn. Oh, well, we're going to get into that. We'll get into that later. We have so much to talk about, but anyway. Book your trip with Chris at MagicalJourneysVacations.com. And last but not least, we have click links to HighSpots.com, WWE Shop, WWE Network, so you can check out the Money in the Bank live event / pay-per-view. They're happening in next month, and it's going to be really, really neat if you were to sign up. And of course, for new subscribers to the WWE Network, it is free for 30 days. You can time it out, go ahead and pick up Money in the Bank, which should be a really good show, because it's going to take place right after all this craziness we're going to talk about with the brand split and all that good stuff. So I tell you what, thank you so much. And now let's get on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up. My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
All right, Steven. So I tell you, did you listen to last week's audio version of the show? Because last week there was a little bit of a glitch. Sometimes the wrong podcast will actually come up, and that's my fault. If that has happened to you and you missed audio from last week, you really need to, because the Jimmy Valiant rap remix was hilarious, because I found that like immediately after you did that. Did you hear the Jimmy Valiant rap that I put on there?
It's that at the end of it? I didn't hear that. Are you kidding me? I missed that. I listened to the audio version.
Well, I actually, when I re-uploaded the show, there was also some missing audio in there. So I actually re-uploaded it again.
Oh, there's a third upload? Well, no wonder.
If you listen to it, it's like, for some reason, the Jimmy Valiant rap didn't happen. But right before we went into the segment, there was a Jimmy Valiant rap, and then there was a Jimmy Valiant rap moving into the Jimmy Valiant promo you sent me.
My wife, Carrie's going to be so excited.
The Jimmy Valiant rap is freaking great, because it's basically from his days in WCW, which was great. So I think the intro is with Tony Schiavone, which was awesome.
The Boogie Woogie Man, right? A lot of threats, a lot of words from Tully Blanchard Enterprises has been directed towards this man.
Who the hell have never been dropped in my wig? That I have. Oh,
Yeah, well, need to check that out.
I did hear the show. It sounded great. I always watch the show and listen to it. And you're right. It's a very unique and different experience, the two different types. For me personally, as an audio person, I love listening to podcasts all the time. Anyway, I was listening to the Wade Keller, Steve Austin podcast today, like you're talking about, listening to Jericho and Flair yesterday. And I do listen to ours too. But, you know, the YouTube version is really great because you get to see me and my facial expressions.
Yeah, that's right. But we do get it. We do get hits on YouTube. We get a lot more audio listens than we do on the YouTube. But, you know, it is a different experience. People get to know us and how we emote and what we talk about. And then, of course, there was that time you were talking about how the network era had changed.
Yes.
And you put up that picture, and I put up the picture because you can see things that I can't. But that is like one of the biggest wrestling memes right there, is that guy with his eyes wide open. I'm a Paul Heyman guy, and he has his eyes wide open, and he's like, I can't believe the Undertaker just got pinned. But
what's amazing about that moment is if you watch the entire front row, not the front row, but the front side with him, or all the people around him have very similar expressions. I mean, it's just he had this really, his eyes are so big. But everybody around him was just like, oh, I swear they all went, oh, something went wrong.
Yeah.
They were like, something went wrong.
I love how
people put that down. Like Jim Cornette put, you know, I wouldn't have done that yet. And Jim Ross, I don't know if I'd have done, oh, shucks. Steve Austin, they should have had that forever. Well, you know.
Well, that's them being a mark. Well, that's, hey, look, you know, what did I say at the very beginning of Pro Wrestling Cast? Everybody's a mark and it's all a work. So at the end of the day, that just goes to prove that even the most and the best wrestling minds in the world, whether it's a Jim Cornette, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Wade Keller, Jim Ross, it doesn't really matter who it is.
Yeah.
They still mark.
Well, and it worked out too, because, you know, he might not even do another match, although he probably will. So, you know, Shane did his thing, and he did a little Bray Wyatt match in between. He lost to Lesnar. It was very important for Lesnar to get that win. Look what Lesnar did with that. And that's just great booking. You know, a great booker visualizes something, and then when it happens the way they visualized it.
It is, but it should have been the end of Undertaker's career, I think, at that point.
No, I
think
I mean, I know what you mean, but I think he thought it was.
Yeah, I think it may have been. It may have been.
It's just it was just so brilliant. Everyone's like, how could you book something to where people react like that? That's what I keep telling people. How could you book something where people react like that?
Well, if you didn't do that move, I mean, if I did not watch WrestleMania, if I decided to seek it out elsewhere, I mean, that would have been a place I would have said, you know what, I'm going to buy the WWE Network and sign up, because I want to see that moment for myself. Because, you know, once again, it's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. Something. And I think you and I had been, we actually watched that show together, did we not?
I don't think we did. That was one of the only ones that we didn't watch together.
Okay.
I do remember watching it and saying, the one I really have fond memories of watching together was the Taker Triple H match with the chair shots. I mean, that one blew me away. But
well, they were saying there's a reason why, you know, was it Taker and Shawn Michaels? Was that the one?
We've seen that together too, but Michaels was the referee there. It was
Michaels was the referee. Yes.
It's one of the best. It's underrated because the Triple H is in it. You know, the internet hates Triple H.
Oh yeah, of course.
Well, but I mean, I'm so sorry. It's a fucking 4.5 star match.
They did then. And funny how times have changed.
Oh, well, they're confused. They're marks. They're just confused marks. I'm a mark too. I'm not putting anybody down, but just don't.
Oh no,
like
I am.
I'm not talking to you, but like, don't act like as in them. Don't act like you're so damn smart, people. You know, we're all marks.
Well, I think it's cool though that they do show that part of them that wants to buy in, that wants to keep things the way they have a fantasy. Like we were just talking before we hit record that we don't usually fantasy book on this show. There are a lot of wrestling podcasts and even certified journalists that go out there and they quarterback they couch book the shows all the time. Now we give our commentary on it, but I think this draft is going to be very interesting, because I think from the top of my head, we could probably book our top five baby faces and heels per brand.
We could do that.
Forward, plus the announced team, which I think is also going to experience a little bit of a shakeup. And if you listen to our podcast back when Mauro Ranallo joined, you know that's where we were going. And we did hint at the potential brand split. We did hint of the shows getting their own voice, a singular voice, and a different style of tones for each individual show, including NXT. So without any further ado, let's go into This Week in Wrestling News.
This Week in Wrestling News.
So the big story is that Nakamura cut an English promo.
I love that story. So if you're listening to the audio version of this show, you'll be able to hear Nakamura's interesting promo with Austin Aries. Well, now that you brought it up, let's go ahead and talk about it, shall we?
So being silly, but he says, oh, that's right. He talks in Japanese. And then he says, oh, that's right. You don't speak Japanese. And then Austin Aries says, I don't understand you. And he says, I don't either.
I love that.
That's pretty deep.
And
I can't help but notice, I still am angry that he didn't retweet the picture with the cat.
Hey, look, man, get over it. You will get over it.
I don't fucking think so.
This is like week four, my friend.
Well, I'm going to try to resend it.
Okay, resend it. And see, because I know that he appreciates fine art like the Oscar the Cat remix.
Well, I want to give a shout out to one of my favorite listeners, Rob Jenkins, because he's from HOMA.
Rob Jenkins.
Rob, respect. Rob watches as much New Japan, maybe even more than me, but we talk about it a lot on Facebook. And he said, hey, your avatar is of Naito. He probably didn't like that. Not a bad point.
So,
but you see, I'm Los Ingobernables. Sorry, Los Ingobernables for life. Some of these words are hard to say.
That's all right.
But I can spell it. But maybe that's it. I don't know.
So NXT TakeOver is going to be taking place June 8th, exclusively on the WWE Network. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on there. And the main event had been announced there by Lord William Regal, the general manager
for NXT.
That's what I call him, Lord William Regal. What's wrong with that? That's his name, right?
Real quick aside. I saw an old Nitro Steve Regal beating the shit out of Prince Iaukea. My God. I wish I could show it right now on the show.
The artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea.
Just beating the living shit out of him. I'm like, my God, did he get mad in the back?
Oh, I know.
He's so great. One of my favorite all-time workers. And I love having him as a figurehead, you know?
Well, he may have been on the juice during that time, so you never know. Steven Regal.
I read his book. He was drinking something called Renutrient. And that sounds real tame, but let me tell you something. If you get on a plane and you drink too much Renutrient, well, let's just say you could end up in court.
Well, my Renutrient is actually more along the lines of Gatorade Powerade.
Well, it was like something you could buy at like the health food store, but if you drank it a certain amount, it was like ecstasy. It was the weirdest story, but everybody was getting into drinking it. Anyway, he's no longer on that, so that's good.
No, he's clean. He's definitely not violating any wellness policies there.
Allegedly. Oh, wait, that's not when you say alleged. Sorry.
Only when you talk about Billy Gunn. Shinsuke Nakamura and Austin Aries announced for the main event. You did mention the promo. We'll probably hear a little snippet of it. Maybe. Or have heard a little snippet of it.
Which one comes out on top? I'm making a statement right now. It is simply a matter of time before Austin Aries is the NXT champion.
Sorry. You don't understand Japanese, right?
I don't understand you.
This is great. Yeah, and rightfully so, Austin Aries, one of the self-proclaimed greatest man we've ever lived, going up against a king of strong style. And I really thought that the promo was hilarious and very good and well done, too, because the week prior to that, I knew they were leading up to a Nakamura versus Aries match when they tagged together.
Right.
And I think this is going to be great. Another great barn burner, because I was a big fan of Austin Aries' work. Of course, Ring of Honor, definitely in TNA, one of the highlights of the TNA show. Anytime we was wrestling, he got himself over as an arrogant prick. And right now, he's doing kind of the same thing, but he's being a little bit more gracious. And I really appreciated the fact that Nakamura is showing more of his Michael Jackson strong style every time he comes to the ring.
Yep.
And somewhere around the world, a red leather cow exists, because his gear has always got the red leather. It's always red leather. So what did you think about the announcement of this? And the fact is that NXT has two of its most over iconic performers. I say iconic because it's true. And they're both Japanese.
Yes, two of their.
I mean, Asuka and Nakamura. I mean, they're both.
They got so many people from New Japan. Not that Asuka's from New Japan. You had to eventually figure this would, you know, happen. And let's not forget Finn Balor, who's very much a Japanese wrestler, even though he's obviously not Japanese. Mm-hmm. Not to mention Carl Anderson and Gallows were never over it until they went to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy AJ Styles might have won their title too. Eventually this Japanese scenario would happen, which I could not be happier, you know, about. If, you know, because if I were fantasy booking, I would do three straight pay-per-views, have Ultimo Dragon beat John Cena with Stephanie as his subservient manager. I think I mentioned that before. And then he would, you know, face AJ Styles for the title.
That's nice.
At WrestleMania. And nobody would buy that because that's not what WWE does. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, that's enough about the Ultimo Dragon for this 10-minute block. But, you know, I can't wait to see Austin Aries versus Nakamura.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Austin hasn't even had that big breakout match yet know he's had a million times. So this will be his opportunity to do it. He'll go, hey, Nakamura, I can do strong style too, you know. And then they'll go out there and he'll get the shit kicked out of him. And that's okay. And there will be knees. You know, I don't know, just to tell people this, because there are some marks out there that aren't aware of this, that, you know, Nakamura did do MMA fighting before he was a wrestler. So it's the reason they say strong style. I mean, he is a very, he beat people up for real and got beat up too, you know.
Yeah.
He's the real.
He's the real deal. Thing. He's legitimate.
And now people are seeing him every week come out on the network, and he's grown his fan base, and actually everything has worked out. I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, but I happen to. But, you know, he keeps doing these GIFs of No Way Jose. Really seems to be into him.
Who's that, Nakamura or Austin Aries?
Yeah, Nakamura. He is like, I don't know, 8 or 9 now.
It's probably because No Way Jose likes to dance, and so does Nakamura. Maybe they should just go out and tag together at some point.
I mean, he's literally doing one or two a week. He's just constantly doing, is it GIFs or GIFs? It's GIF, right?
Oh, Lord, don't get me started on this.
Okay, well, let's say it's GIFs, because he's done like 9 or 10 GIFs of No Way Jose, and they're all really strange, and, you know, in between Bailey and Sasha Banks and Asuka sort of fighting over his attention, you know, I'm wondering how many of these chicks he's actually.
Well, let's move on. So,
see, I set it up to where he could stop me. I'm getting better at that.
Yeah, you set him up and I throw him down. Maybe he is proving that he's the king of, you know, strong style.
See, he said something much worse. I think he's one of those guys, allegedly. He's a lot like Prince. I think he's a good person to compare him to because he has this, people say this, not gay quality, but maybe a feminine kind of thing. And that's more of a Prince vibe. It's like he's so fucking slick. He can be very feminine, yet girls want to hang out with him, yet girls feel safe around him, yet guys want to be like him too. So he's kind of like everything. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first things I noticed about him. And, you know, he's not afraid to dress any way he wants. He's not afraid to wear sequin, you know, blouses and stuff like that to the ring. You know, I've seen him do it.
Well, that's just, yeah, exactly, me too. And that's just the reason
you've done that too.
My chicks, yeah, I haven't worn them to the ring per se.
Yeah,
maybe in the comfort of my own home, but never out in public.
Yeah. Well, then, you know,
I'm not the king of strong style like he is. So,
well, he can do that.
Yeah, he can do it. Yeah, he can
scoop
do it.
Neck blouses. Real risky stuff to do, you know. I'm serious.
Well, NXT TakeOver will be very good. And then you also have the fact that we will also have a huge women's match also huge. For that as well. Looking forward to that. Bayley is out of the picture at this point.
Right.
And I think, is that injury a work?
Yes, it's a work. I fucking got fooled. So what?
That's what I thought.
I got fooled when it first happened because I was looking on Twitter and all these people had tweeted these pictures of it. And it looked like it had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So my mark, what, I'm a mark? This is a big surprise? That I'm a mark?
So, yeah. So I think this is a way for them to move on.
Nia Jax was going to do the pay-per-view with Asuka, and they had to have a reason that Bayley didn't get the rematch. I kind of think Nia's going to lose to Asuka because Bayley, man, this brand thing is really throwing everything out of whack. Because now you really should add Bayley to SmackDown. My God, you know, add Bayley to SmackDown as a babyface.
Well,
and then what happens in NXT?
Not so fast. So let's move on to
directly relates. I'm just giving a reason why I think Nia will probably lose to Asuka, and why Bayley's not in the picture.
Right. So
I didn't jump all the way into the water.
Well, no, that's okay. Just really, really quick before we move into the brand split, because that is like huge news.
Sure.
Really quickly, let's talk about the departure of Cody Rhodes and his wife Eden, aka Brandi Reynolds.
It's hilarious.
Once again, I think first of all to talk about Brandi, aka Eden, I thought she was one of the great ring announcers that they've had. I like Tony Chimmel, big fan of Lillian Garcia, obviously a big fan of Howard Finkel, and I think Eden was well on her way. She had a very unique voice to her. Not only was she easy on the eyes, definitely Cody did a great job marrying someone as wonderfully talented and beautiful as Eden, but
if you will.
Oh man, if you will.
That was pretty gal, man. Pretty classy to look to.
Classy. I think they make a great couple. But I think it is a loss because not only was she camera ready and she looked the part, she was very professional and she had a wonderful and unique presentation and voice. That once again was not grating, it was not bad, it was just perfect. It sat in the background, and I think that she'll be known as the person that really helped over, because the way she would announce Kevin Owens is so unique. Kevin Owens, you know, the way she did it. And that basically, anytime Kevin came out, I was always expecting her to say that people would say it in the way she said it, because that's how much of a signature she added to what she do, the flair, pardon the pun, put into her voice. But anyway, I digress.
You know, Cody's... I thought you were going to cough. That's why I jumped in. You know, Cody's really got some big balls, and so does she. You know, and I really appreciate what they've done because, you know, he left on his terms. It's rare that people get to do that. You know, I really wouldn't want to quit a job and then my wife stayed working for him. You know, that wouldn't last more than two or three fucking days either, just like that didn't. Mm-hmm. I think we were texting about that. So there's no way. But, people say, maybe you could do this, maybe you could do that, maybe you could do this. You know, I don't know how he's going to be able to get out of that contract because he asked for his release. So then he left. That doesn't necessarily mean he can just go wrestle right away. People say, well, he could do Japan, he could do this or that. I don't know if Japan really would work with his style. He should sign with WWE. That would be a good company for him.
Yeah,
you know, he could play a character. And no, but I commend him on what he said. His note was very honest. He gave a lot of props. He dissed a lot of people. He dissed Ryan Ward directly, who was the NXT writer who did such a great job, that's now the SmackDown lead writer. You know, we could probably talk more about him in the split area of the show. Talking about him hitting on, you know, recruits and all that. I thought that was a little bit of a low blow. You know, and I'm sure that guy probably does that, but it's just like, you know, of course he does that, you know, but, you know, and talking about wannabe Brian Gerwitz and all of it, but it really is indicative of the issues of the company. And it's sort of been coming out. This happened, Ryback, Sandow wants to go, Barrett said, fuck off. And then there were releases and there may be more, but, you know, it's just really funny how many people want to go. And I liked how he left. I thought he did a really good job, you know.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, his name is Rhodes, and he had done everything possible to be a positive person. Did everything that the creative wanted him to do and more. He created his own characters. He morphed into several different memorable characters and had a really good run. You had the dashing Cody Rhodes, the face mask with a broken nose, and then the paper bag, and then the mustache. And, you know, then he had the Rhodes Scholars gimmick, which was great. And then he was one of the people that was integral into restoring the value of the IC title.
Right.
You know, the IC title that we have today, the white classic IC title that Shawn Michaels won, is the title that we see today. And I really like that about him. He took it very seriously. He wanted to contribute. And yet time and time again, it seemed to me, and maybe I'm just getting worked, you know, maybe it is a work. I don't know. But the bottom line is that he wanted to contribute in a higher level. And I don't know of anybody that has paid the price for their job that doesn't understand what he is going through in the frustrations of not being able to move ahead, doing everything that is expected of them and then some, and then not being having the common courtesy of being written back or being talked to or being not valued. And for superstars to decide to walk away at this level, I don't blame them, you know, because they've saved their money and they're in good health and they could work elsewhere. And then, you know, but maybe they can come back. And the fact that he is a Rhodes and that his brother is still there, still contributing on a very high level.
Right.
And I think is going to be doing great. And I think maybe it's just time for them to take a break, maybe have time for them to start a family, which I think they're wanting to do. I can read between the lines here.
Sure.
You know, and when it's time for him to come back, he can come back.
Well, it's going to be some good looking kids.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have some good looking kids. And, you know, the other thing about that is, too, is that, and you're right, I do appreciate how he left. I wouldn't have thrown other people under the bus in that way. But you know what? You know, I believe that still speaks to his character. And I think that he's trying to right some possible wrongs that he may have felt. And if he hadn't been addressed and this is his last ditch effort, then what else does he have to lose, right?
That whole era of guys from 2009, 10, 11 that kind of came in, a lot of them aren't left. You know, you got Kofi that kind of finally broke through. And Sheamus is still around, sort of lingering. And Del Rio is sort of, they're trying to resuscitate. But that whole era will go down as, what do you call that era? The PG, it's called the PG era, right? The PG era will just go down as just a really weak period.
It's a Nexus period.
The Nexus was the only thing they did that really was enticing.
Well, that's not true. You had CM Punk.
I never really liked CM Punk.
Oh, I like CM Punk. So CM Punk.
I mean, I just didn't think he was at that level. I thought it was really strong stuff. The pipe bomb was great. But he didn't blow me away as a main eventer. You know?
Well, yeah, for me, I thought he was a great main eventer. So we can agree to disagree on that. But, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Let me say something before I get crucified by somebody. Mm-hmm. Ring of Honor CM Punk, I love. You know, because I was a lot like that guy, and I'm a lot like that guy now. Like the exact things he says, I'm better than you, and I don't drink smoke.
Right.
In the WWE setting, I just didn't think he was at the level of, you know, Randy Savage or something. If
you feel that way, it's probably because of the way he was booked and not necessarily his work rate.
No, I just don't think he had the ability to be at that level. That's honestly what I mean.
Okay. All right.
So I'm being controversial right now.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. So
sure. That's no, funny. I understand because I could literally be shot on the street for that.
So that's fine. And actually, I'm kind of surprised because I would have thought that maybe someone with the indie-rific skills of a CM Punk may have won a little bit more brownie points with you in the Fed versus
definitely did before. Yeah, I love him up until when he came in, I was rooting for him and in ECW, and I would get mad if they do make him do a dumb job to Viscera or whatever. And then, you know, he had the Jeff Hardy thing, and Jeff Hardy put him over. And then, you know, everybody was just really into him, and I thought, he's okay. You know, he's strong. I just don't think he's at that top tier level. I think he's right at it, you know?
Yeah, a lot of those people of the PG era have come and gone. It is a shame. Yeah. And I think that's indicative of creative.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely indicative of creative, and it leads us into the brand split. But before we move on from this story of Rhodes leaving the company, where do you see Cody Rhodes ending up? Do you see him coming back? I mean, what is your final analysis, your final word on this?
He'll eventually come back. I don't think he'll go to Japan. I don't think he'll go to Mexico. So that leaves TNA and Ring of Honor. He can't go to Ring of Honor. I don't know what he's going to do.
Can I tell you what I think?
Please.
I think it's a work.
Okay.
Because when he leaves in a huff, it becomes news.
Okay.
And when they have a family.
They release him quick. I will give you that.
Well, and then, you know, and of course it does make sense. But wouldn't this be a great way for Rhodes to come back on a shiny horse, much like his father, and really be the Rhodes that people want him to be and that he wants to be, the rebirth of Cody Rhodes, it being the new American dream, perhaps? Because you did say that these wrestlers from the PG era that have come and gone, a lot of second generation wrestlers have come and gone, and they haven't been treated properly. They have not been given good characters or gimmicks. They've been put out there and have been eaten a lot of shit, to be quite honest. And then to come back, and they were good workers, and then to come back and have them not be treated properly, whether it's the Carlito Colones, whether it's the Rhodes, whether it's a DiBiase, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, but here's what's the problem, though. DiBiase, Rhodes, Carlito, none of those guys ever did anything for me. So when you say, I just have to go back to this point very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the writing in the PG era, I guess you would call this the network era. The network era, I love. The WrestleMania with Lesnar, Reigns, and Triple H against Sting and the whole world, I love that. And I can't think of anything I love from 2009 to 2013, you know. I love this era. And those guys never did it for me. Guys like AJ and Lesnar, the new way they push Lesnar, and all these cats coming in now, and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and the whole deal. I love that roster. That roster didn't do it for me. I never liked Kofi Kingston until he had the New Day gimmick. Sheamus couldn't care less about it. It just was a weird crop for me. It was just a weird crop of talent, and I think they just got cut lost in the fray because they didn't get to where they wanted to go. But yeah. I didn't think they were going to get there.
They had some superstars, and I think they had a chance to pull the trigger on Kofi Kingston being a really huge babyface, especially in the program with Randy Orton, and they got cold feet. I don't know why.
He did that one big win. He got that one clean job, and that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like Survivor Series.
I thought that was a Raw right before or something.
It may have been. I knew that they were doing the whole car vandalization angle.
Oh, wow. You're going to have to refresh me on that.
Yeah, you remember when Randy Orton brought his race car in, the Viper sports car in, and then
Kofi Kingston came by. Whoa, I don't remember the race car. The race car? Oh, my God.
Yeah, and Kofi Kingston came by, and they were starting a program between Orton, the number one heel, and then Kingston, the up-and-coming white meat baby face, and then he took and literally spray painted Randy Orton's car and smashed it and did a whole bunch of crap to it and leading up to the pay-per-view. And then after that, there was nothing. I mean, there was literally nothing.
Wow.
And the buildup, people were getting hot and like, wow, this is going to be a really hot feud. Kofi's mega over. He's going to be a great face. And then all of a sudden, writers just dropped the ball. I don't know why they got cold feet or Vince decided to change their mind, but Kofi could have been in, you know, very close to that John Cena role because not only was he popular with the kids, but his promos were on point, in my opinion, and Randy Orton was just on fire as a huge heel. I believe he just came off, and you know, Nixon will probably let me know about this, but I think he just came off his huge win or a huge program with Triple H, the home invasion angle.
Oh my God, match sucked. I don't care.
But it was a hot feud at the time.
It was a hot feud, and they cooled it off with that dumbass match. Then they tried to go after Undertaker. So hey, let's go right after a match that we're certain will be 5 stars. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure, go for it.
There was a lot of hope in that particular time period. So
I don't remember the Viper car. I remember the Viper feud, but that is a testament. You know, I've watched Raw every week since August of 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't remember that. I'm sure it happened, but what I'm trying to say is like that was a forgettable period. That's what
right.
I mean. I remember him doing that one big clean win. They might have been at MSG. Remember he did a table spot and he pinned Orton. Hooray!
Well, I think a lot of people had forgotten a lot of what happened in that era because the Attitude Era was so fresh. You know, the Attitude Era. And the loss of people like Foley and Stone Cold and then Brock Lesnar too, to a certain degree, and The Rock, you know, that left a huge void. And I think a lot of people were kind of, you know, disenfranchised and left. And if they were watching, they were kind of passively watching because nothing really was electrifying at the time.
Well, I mean, talk to me podcast, you know, we were talking to me and Mr. Toomey, Mr. Metal. And he's like, where's Macho Man Randy Savage? Where's Ultimate Warrior shaking the ropes? Where's, you know, where is that? You know, you guys talk about AJ Styles. You say he's really good, and I get it. But, like, where's, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts? And I think he's right. You know, so as a tape trader, I can go, well, you know, AJ had a 4.5-star match with Juventud Guerrero at TNA once. And I can do that. But for most fans, it comes down to that. And I think that era missed that boat. You know, it was like they just didn't catch on right. And they're moving on from it. They're moving on. This is a new era because everyone's getting fired from the other era. And by the way, if Goldust gets fired, then you'll know. If Goldust gets fired, then you'll know. I hope it's a work. I don't think it is, though.
Well, okay.
Father would have said something.
Well, everything is a possible work, right? Even if it is true. It's not like he couldn't come back and make a big deal of this particular one and then write a great angle for himself as a result. Because everything's a work.
But everything's a work in this whole world because we don't know who we are. That's why Nakamura said that. He's like, I don't understand me either. So we're all a work. And that's what makes it easier when you watch a basketball game and you know there's point fixing going on in the game's rigged. It makes it easier to deal with that. At least the wrestlers are honest and say, hey, it's fake.
Well, I love that about Nakamura. You're right. That is probably one of the most deepest things he could have said. And I think, and it came off to be very genuine, by the way. So
he's the real deal, man. He is the real fucking deal. And now everybody's starting to see it. And now that they're splitting the brands, he might be able to go on SmackDown and go on some kind of winning streak.
That's true.
See what I mean?
Well, as we have been alluding to from this, and we also know that you know, we have some wrestlers that are now cleared, medically cleared for performing. One of them being Sasha Banks, if I'm not mistaken. Yes.
Yeah, she just got cleared today, and someone else got Enzo. So Enzo.
And by the way, Enzo did make quite a splash upon his return this week on the Monday Night Raw.
Man, that guy. And that guy's something else.
Yeah, he is something else. And I really appreciate his work. Something that was a little bit more awkward on Monday Night Raw, just to give it some time, would be the fact that we're no longer going to be seeing the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, on Monday Night Raw or WWE programming.
Hey, look, he's really broken up about it, too. You know, everyone check out the Jericho interview. Lots of great.
I love that. You know, the thing I like about Jericho's interview is that it was very wrestling oriented.
And it's all 70s wrestling in NWA. Yeah,
perfect for me. And New Japan, by the way, too.
Yeah, yeah. All Japan as well. I mean,
New Japan, not Noah, but everything else.
Not Noah, but I mean, he wrestled in All Japan, New Japan guys from the 80s more. So, you know, he'll tend to talk more about a Fujinami or Great Muta than he would a, but you know, he didn't wrestle like Misawa or Kobashi. So it is kind of, it's more of an 80s. But yeah, I mean, he's interesting to hear talk about their style, or at least how they did it back then. He talks about Harley.
Of course.
He
that's and new like, stories. New like stories, too, mind you. It seems to me like Jericho inadvertently stumbled upon something, because Rick sometimes tend to tell the same stories a lot.
Oh, my God. I've heard the freaking
story.
Yeah, like there's like 58 of them I've heard several times. I mean, literally, I'm thinking literally. When I got that first High Spots, you can go on highspots.com and get it. Ric Flair shoot from 2008. It's a three-disc set, sometimes it's four. Every one of those stories is on it. I heard the stories 8 years ago, bro.
Yeah, and, you've even heard the stories on the WWE Network, either Table for Three, Horseman, or the Sit Down podcast with Stone Cold. Or, you know, I mean, yeah. you've heard a lot of those stories before. He's very fond of telling them.
Well, the Kurt Hennig story is the best.
I do like that. The Kurt Hennig story is.
I heard that one before on that shoot, but I was glad to hear it again.
Mm-hmm. So, but
oh yeah, so Ric Flair had an angle with Charlotte. You know, Charlotte gets rattled a little too easy. And she does have some mic skills to some degree. I can't help but feel, I've said this before, that Charlotte is doing this strictly for her brother. And at some point, you know, I feel like she's just going to leave.
She doesn't connect with you, is what you're saying.
No, she does connect with me. She's really good, but I know her heart's not in this like some other guys, like Harley Race or Ric Flair. Okay. Well, and at some point, she'll say, you know what? I did this for Reed. I did this for my dad. I changed wrestling, and now I'm going to go away. I bet she does that, because she ain't no airhead like, you know, Jake or something, where he's just, his whole life is wrestling forever. She's a little bit bigger than that. But anyway, at the same token, that makes her promos sometimes, she'll get a little rattled and she'll get back on track. Her talent is immense. Okay.
Yeah. And but, you can tell that Rick was trying to save it, but the bottom line is that Rick tried really hard to not get emotional, but I think he tried to be over emotional to make up for the fact that she was getting lost. And I think part of the thing is that this segment could have been done backstage the way it should have been done, and not in front, because if they did this segment as a pre-tape, it would have made so much more sense.
Okay. I don't think I agree with that, but
okay.
I mean, which is fine. But here's the best part about the angle. So they do the angle, and I like to follow Twitter when Raw's on. It's really interesting to see what everyone that I follow says.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I loved it. I hated it. She's not good. She's the best ever. She's changed wrestling. Ric Flair's terrible. Ric Flair's amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. So they finish the angle, and they're in the last half hour. Now they're doing Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles. And I look at my Twitter, and it says, Ric Flair, come on, Cavaliers, pull through. At King James, hashtag Cavs versus Raptors. Which means 20 minutes after he ended the angle where he's crying or whatever, he's watching the Cavaliers game while Raw is having its main event, and felt the need to tweet about it because go Cavaliers. This guy is completely nuts. He's nuts. And that might have been his way of saying, hey, fuck it, I'm off the road. I'm off it. You know, I think you were right all along, bro. They wanted to disrupt this podcast. They disrupted the podcast. Then he was on TMZ, you know, for whatever happened at that freaking airport. I don't know. All I know is Ric Flair was at the airport. They had pictures of him stumbling around, and the police were there. That's all I know about it. I don't know anything else. But that sounds familiar. It feels familiar. And I think it felt familiar to them. And they're like, oh, yeah, Ric Flair. We might have to cut him loose. So maybe now his podcast will come back on. You know, I don't know. He's crazy.
Yeah.
He's crazy. I heard a story about, I don't know if I can tell that. I heard a story like he was with Ken Patera. Ken Patera tells the story. He's at Ken Patera's party, and he put mustard and, how do I say this? Mustard and ketchup on something. He walks out and he asks all the women at the party if they would like some hot dog. You understand the story? Because I didn't say, but you know what I'm getting at. Mustard and ketchup.
Oh,
that's just vile. So he's calmed down substantially, but not enough to not get fired. You know,
well, see, everyone knows these stories, but now with the advent of social media, podcasts, and these different things, it's no longer, and you know, the niche crowd and people sharing their fandom, whether it's comics, movies, you know, sci-fi, whatever the case is, pro wrestling has gotten to be so huge that we are building a community. We like to hear podcasts. We like to share in our fandom. And these stories are making the rounds, like that whole thing with Kevin Sullivan, which I'm sure was very embarrassing for a lot of people on his podcast, Woo Nation.
That's the damnedest thing I'd ever heard. I'm surprised it didn't CBS
didn't let him go then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised. Well, I'm sure we all know that he was kind of what's what I'm looking for. I believe that CBS kind of gave him a little slap on the wrist.
Yeah, but then he started doing one or two a month, you know. Whereas I got into a routine of listening to it on, I think it was Wednesday morning, because they would upload Tuesday night. So I got into a routine of listening to it. Then 1 week it wasn't there, then it was a day late, then a week, then they just had like one for the whole month of March, and I'm like, well, I guess this thing's over with.
It even made Lawrence Taylor interesting for me to listen to. You know what I mean? So,
oh, I love Lawrence though.
The Lawrence Taylor podcast was great, but you know, I think as it pertains to Ric Flair, I think that he, you know, he's a little bit of a liability, especially in a trading company like WWE. So,
you know, at the end of the day, in the booking scheme of things, you need to take him away from her for her to be as great as she can be, and you know, and she always looked better than him in the situations, and that's important. And I think that she'll move on to something, you know. Again, I think there's going to be a middle ground feud. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but you know, they're eventually going to get to Sasha by August. So whenever Sasha Banks comes back into the picture by August, we'll know. But you know, you got to have something to fill June and July. I guess maybe a tag series with Becky and Sasha. And then, you know, you could do a Japanese style where Sasha pins Flair a couple of times, then they have a couple of matches, and you know, that would be really fun.
Oh, who knows? I will tell you this. This leads us now into the brand Raw SmackDown NXT split.
Okay.
So it was recently announced that in July, when SmackDown is going to be doing its brand new live show on Tuesdays, okay?
Yes.
I tell you, SmackDown has had more...
I know, right?
Had more network shakeups and time slot arrangements than even TNA at this point.
For a show that actually does a decent rating, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's doing really well. Okay, so they're going to be doing a revamp. And in launching this live SmackDown show, which, by the way, I think I'd mentioned this already, but SmackDown will be Tuesday live on the USA Network.
Yeah.
All right. So now they're also announcing the fact that they're having unique rosters and a return, quite possibly, of the WWE draft. That is the current scuttlebutt.
Well, I'm hearing they're going to do it in Detroit on the 11th, actually. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. So back in 2002, following the death of WCW, WWE split its roster across SmackDown and Raw. Mm-hmm. And there were annual drafts to be held from 2004 to 2011. You know, closer to 2011, they did it maybe like a couple times or a couple times prior, but it was a yearly thing. And the first time they didn't do the draft, I was like, what? No draft this year?
Right. Well, you know, it got less and less interesting as it went. That's July 11th in Detroit, you know, and they're going to do the draft the same way. Now, I mean, look, this can change, so don't hold me to it. You know, supposedly Cena will be on SmackDown, Reigns will be on Raw. There will be two titles like they used to have. I don't know if I'd do that. Shane will be a babyface, and Stephanie will probably remain a babyface. And I would think Stephanie would have Raw because she could continue feuding with Roman. Although I think she's going to stay a babyface until this book comes out, and then Shane would be the babyface on SmackDown. But hey, man, look what you can do at SmackDown live Tuesday. Shane McMahon figurehead, Mauro Ranallo, everybody's new favorite. Okay, and then you get a bunch of new people in, and then it's a brand specific, and then you can crown a champion of it. Man, that could be a hot show, but you remember how things went down the first time this went around, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Okay, so I just happened to have watched the draft show from 2002 recently.
Okay.
And
shocking.
Well, I can't watch every show every week. I mean, but well,
what I'm saying is that there was a lot of high drama in that episode. Actually,
it was a very good episode. Vince McMahon was and Ric Flair was co-owner of the WWE, which is really a comical angle looking back. Being, I think he has like he's probably in debt millions of dollars, literally.
Right.
You know, if you add up all the lawsuits, allegedly. So they go in there and they start drafting people. You know, so you split up the brands. So you know. Ric Flair gets the NWO, and The Undertaker goes to Raw, and Lesnar goes to SmackDown. And you go, and it was really interesting. It was an interesting show. And then I remember they did the first official show, and it was like, it felt weird. Like, I remember the Hardy Boys come out for a match. All right, the Hardy Boys, yay. And who comes out? This is 2002. Who comes out to fight them? The Big Boss Man and Curt Hennig. This isn't 1988. It's 2002. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. It's Rob Van Dam. I was about to say Rob Jenkins. Rob Jenkins comes out for a ladder match. No, Rob Van Dam comes out for a ladder match with Larry Frank, my other friend. And Eddie Guerrero pops out, and they're like, oh, Eddie Guerrero's here now. And it felt like they were trying really hard to keep it fresh. People started getting hurt. Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash tore a quad. You know, people started getting hurt. Austin got pissed off and left. Rock started doing Scorpion King. And the next thing you know, by late 2002, Raw fucking sucked. And that's when the infamous Katie Vick angle, because when Vince freaks out, he does weird shit, right? And that's when the infamous Katie Vick angle came about. I'm not saying that's going to happen this time. What I'm hoping will happen.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I'm hoping will happen is we get Finn Balor, Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Bayley, bring them up, split it up good. You got Bobby Roode and Eric Young still. You haven't even, you know, you got all this stuff. You can still steal, you know, TNA's on this last leg. So go grab Drew Galloway. Drew Galloway's awesome, guys. Do not hire Matt Hardy. Okay. Have you seen his new haircut?
I haven't, no.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and pull it up while we talk. But you can do a ton of different things, okay? And with Super Cena coming back, Rollins, we didn't talk about even that. You know, so much has happened, my God, in 1 week. We didn't even talk about Extreme Rules. And I know, right? Jericho's fallen in tax. We're like, oh, yeah, didn't that happen last week?
We're going to do part one and part two of this podcast.
Yeah, jeepers creepers. But, you know, you've got you can actually maybe do it good this time. You know, bring in, you know, Eric Young versus Seth Rollins. And then the next match is Nakamura versus Bray Wyatt, you know, with Marvin Allo doing commentary. And it's a SmackDown set and it's live on Tuesday. Yeah, I think that would probably pop ratings. So it might work. If I were USA, I'd be worried about my flagship Raw thing changing. You know, don't go thinking, people, I'm going to say this for the millionth time, they're not going down to 2 hours. That's never going to happen until during this contract term. You know,
well, that is a possibility. Triple H was also noted of tweeting recently, the NXT takeover is the end.
Well, that's because we didn't talk about it. That's the cage match, the end of the Samoa Joe Finn Balor feud. So it's not.
It's you don't think it's the rumor that's pretty hot right now that Raw will be going to 2 hours followed by NXT.
Okay, listen up. USA is not going to allow them to do something like that. If they did it for 1 week and it worked, where'd you hear that? I've heard people keep saying it's going to drop in 2 hours.
It's on there. It's actually been said by a few notable wrestling reporters. Actually,
I haven't heard that at all.
Yeah,
so you're saying NXT would go from 9 to 10 o'clock Central Time?
It's possible.
Well, no way, Jose, my new favorite wrestler. Or I'm sorry, Nakamura's new favorite wrestler. No way. No way they'll do that. No way. Mm-hmm. But I do
think. I don't believe they will either.
I think NXT will take a hit, though. I do think that. I think NXT will start kind of not being quite as awesome as it used to be because they trained these guys to bring them up. Remember the Shield used to be at NXT? Remember that, guys? Mm-hmm. No, that's not what's going to happen. But look, it's rejuvenated Vince's spirits, which is always a good thing. And maybe this is one of the last great things he can pull off. I'm just saying, you have your SmackDown 6 happen in 2003, and then by 2004 it suffers. It's really hard because you cut in half the amount of feuds. So let's say I'm Seth Rollins, and I can feud with AJ Styles. I can feud with Sami Zayn, and I can feud with Nakamura, and I can feud with Roman Reigns, right? And Dean Ambrose. What if those five guys are on SmackDown? Those feuds are gone, and I'm just giving an example of how you can cut down on the amount amount of feuds that a person can have to keep things fresh. It's just really, really hard to do because our roster was jam-packed in early 2002. I remember, and the guys were over. The popularity was dwindling, but the guys themselves were more over than they are now. The workers are better now, but it's going to be, it's at least they're doing something.
Well, with the workers getting better.
Much better than it was then.
With the workers getting better, they're also taking more risks. They're also being overexposed.
Right.
And not being treated as special as they could be, leading to the point where, you know, a lot of special wrestlers are being jobbed out because they need to fill television time.
Right.
So it's a creative, creativity-wise, it can be a detriment, where the brand split, I believe, can be good in terms of creative and highlight different talents and give them a place. A specific place to be on a show with specific titles, specific goals to fight over, which can be good until the injuries. You see, so here, you know, when workers work hard, and they work every day on TV, there's a problem because then they run the risk of injury. So now they're working different shows, specifically distinct rosters,
right.
Limiting their visibility on TV, which makes them more special. And hopefully as a result, the injuries will be reduced. But that does kind of also limit creativity in terms of where certain feuds can go. So they really have to have a clear direction year for year arc of where these feuds are going to lead and how they're going to play out. So it's, you know, this is a very big thing. And I think they were going to do this brand split earlier in the year, but decided that this would be the time to actually do it.
Well, I think it is a good idea, but somebody's suffering. It's either Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. It looks like NXT. And another thing is they're going to do, the pay-per-views will be joint from now on. Well, once this happens in July. So what does that mean? That means Mauro Ranallo is going to be on fucking pay-per-view.
I love that.
Now that's some good news, okay?
We talked about that as well. And when Mauro Ranallo was drafted and when we talked about that, when he came over from New Japan, I said, you know, this is going to be a potential brand split because SmackDown is going to have, you know, the workers show. It's going to be the workers show.
Yeah, and it might, I hope so, you know, because then I'm going to make a prediction and I bet I'm right because, man, I always get a vibe and it happens, right? Mm-hmm. I got a feeling they're going to have a SmackDown title and AJ's going to be the champ.
Yeah, I do too.
I really feel it because I feel like, why did job here and he job there? And I'm like, whoa, why do you guys give a shit about jobs now? You know? And I think that's what it's setting up. I mean, AJ needed a job to Roman Reigns twice. That was always in the plans. And AJ needed a job to Kevin Owens to give Kevin a big push. But AJ's done nothing but job. And what did he do? He had four and a half star matches. It's hard to get five stars, people, please. You know, and that's all he's done. And I think he deserves it. Huh?
Steve Austin was quick to give him five stars.
No. Listen, Steve Austin has one 5-star match. Do you know what it is?
It is First Blood with Bret Hart.
Exactly. Now that's a 5-star match. Right, exactly. Now that is a 5-star match. That is a fucking 5-star match.
That is one of the most pinnacle 5-star matches.
Unbelievable match. But, yeah. You know, Steve Austin against Kurt Angle at SummerSlam in 2001 blew me away. It's not a 5-star match, though. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to get. It has to be perfection and almost a. It just has
magical.
To, it has it's magical. It happens once a year in the whole world, maybe twice, and it needs to be magical. And it's very hard for it to happen in WWE because they're restricted by
no blood.
No, not just that. They're restricted by blood. Blood's not an issue. They're restricted by booking sometimes. Not so much time limit, but you know the way they put it together the show because the crowd plays into it, the setting, the announcing, the presentation, everything. Not that I don't know how to explain it. It's just easier for New Japan to do it because they tell the workers go ahead. And in WWE, they're like, okay, you're gonna do it and do 5 minutes, and then I'll call in, and then Shane's gonna come out and stop it, and then Stephanie's gonna. You see what I'm saying? It's just a little harder. Never in my life would want anyone to think I don't respect these wrestlers. It's the companies that do strange shit. The wrestlers are the one that risk their lives every moment.
Right. Totally. So having said that,
5-star matches.
So there's a lot of people talking about this brand split. In fact, CBS Sports recently had Adam Silverstein, one of their premier writers, actually write about this division, this brand extension, whatever you want to call it, brand split.
Right.
And he actually did. This was by Nick Schwartz of Fox Sports. I'm sorry, I had the wrong article up.
Okay.
So Nick Schwartz from Fox actually did a fantasy draft.
Okay.
So he put Steph and Shane into the opposing faction. So Raw would be run by Stephanie.
Right.
Shane would be running SmackDown.
That's
Reigns. Right. Reigns would be on Raw.
Right.
SmackDown would be John Cena.
Right. That's what I've heard, by the way.
That's
right.
What I've heard. Yeah. Seth Rollins would be on Raw.
Makes sense. Got a few with Reigns.
That makes sense, right? AJ Styles would be on SmackDown.
Right, because he's going to win the belt.
Right. So, and then you mentioned the belt really quick before I continue on with this article. So do you believe they're going to bring back the World Heavyweight Championship?
Yes. And I think it's a mistake, but they will. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a mistake too.
They're going to bring it back. They're going to bring it back. But I mean, if AJ holds it for a year and has a 5-star match with Nakamura, watch me fucking like it.
Well, right. Right. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I think that there should be a SmackDown Championship, but how can you bring a show its own title without making it seem like it's being devalued because there is no history? So you bring back a belt that has had history,
but had been
put in storage basically over the past few years.
What you have to do, first of all, that unification match that Orton and Cena did, I barely remember. What was that, 2013? You know, that was so insignificant in itself. What you have to do is to give a finite... You have to give the respect to whatever you're doing. You know, I'm not sure which belt it is. Would this be the WCW World Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah, that would be the WCW.
But then go back to that lineage. Show Harley Race. You know, show Waldo McDaniel. No, he didn't have that belt. You know what I mean?
Show David Arquette. Let's see how that works.
No. That motherfucking Russo. My God. You know, I'm going to do something people are going to talk about. Yeah, you did. You know, show Ron Simmons pinning Vader.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
Well, I know that's what they're going to do if they decide to go that route, because I think just manufacturing the SmackDown title just out of thin air doesn't mean anything, and I don't think that that's going to hold any weight. The World Championship will, but is the title beyond repair? Can it be resurrected and have it mean something to people again?
They've devalued their titles. Anyway, they actually did a decent job at making the U.S. title important, which it was almost like a pet project. Like, let's do an experiment and see if we can do this.
Oh.
You know, but the world title, you know, when you put the belt on Sheamus to trick the fans into liking Roman Reigns for 2 weeks, which was a great angle they did in Philly where Roman won the belt at Raw, you know, the belt's a prop, right? But it's not a prop to me.
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel real to me? You know, damn it. You know, like Harley Race is a world champion to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christian is not. That's just the way it is. Sheamus is not. AJ Styles, if he won it, it would be like, okay, he's the SmackDown champion. He's the internet champion. That maybe they could turn it really into the internet belt. But you see, what's going to happen is Raw is going to suck. I'm telling you. I mean, this thing never works, dude.
Well, I wanted to bring that back while we talked about that, but now we're talking to yet another title because he drafted Raw with Charlotte and SmackDown with Sasha Banks. So does this mean now that you have another women's title?
That's a mistake. That's a big take.
What the draft or having another women's title?
Two women's titles, a mistake.
Okay, so wouldn't it make more sense for the champion to be able to appear on any show that they need to be on, and same with the women's championship?
They did that before too. Also was a mistake. This whole thing's a damn mistake.
This is a no-win situation then.
I'm just telling you things I've seen they did, and then it didn't work. You know,
because now what happens is that you have one women's champion on Raw, and then you have another women's champion on SmackDown.
Right.
I mean, what, they bring back the Divas belt again? I mean, because everybody hated that damn belt. Now, they're going to bring another women's champion because NXT has their own championship situation. NXT championship and the NXT women's championship and the NXT tag team championships. That's another tag team. That's another title where you're splitting the components, much like the tag teams. The tag teams
right.
You know, also have the autonomy to go back and forth between show to defend their belts. But now, if there's this brand split with an identity, are they going to have to bring back the WCW type of belts again?
Yes.
For that?
I like, what do you do with the tag teams as far as like, okay, look, if you got two motherfucking tag team champions on two different shows, that one's on Monday and Tuesday, fuck you. I'm not watching it. And then you got NXT, you got Jordan and Gable. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting dizzy. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just too much. It's just too much information. Mm-hmm. But you have to book things and be interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're like, see, like, here you go this, here you go that.
Because the people are talking about how they're drafting, but I don't think people realize that if the championship stays on one or the other show, then that leaves that person out of contention for an entire year.
Correct. So
unless they decide to defend the belt.
So are all the women on one show is the question.
And absolutely not. They're not. They can't.
Right, but
if look at okay, this guy from Fox Sports and everybody else, whether it's be Fox or CBS, ESPN, as they talk about this impending draft, if you will, splitting the roster, right?
Right,
and you know, so you have Raw, Charlotte, SmackDown, Sasha Banks, New Day, Raw, SmackDown, Kevin Owens, number 11 pick, Raw, Dean Ambrose, number 12, SmackDown, Sami Zayn, Raw, Paige, SmackDown, Becky Lynch, The Miz, number 15 on Raw, SmackDown, Rusev and Lana go to SmackDown, Raw, Enzo and Cass, SmackDown has the Wyatts, Randy Orton is back on Raw, SmackDown, Gallows and Anderson go there, Dana Brooke is on Raw, Dudley Boys is on SmackDown, Raw, Cesaro. You know, it's going down the line with everything. Where does this stop? And, you know, where does Bayley fit? Where does Nakamura fit? Where does Baylor fit? Or, you know, Balor, where does he go?
Well, you take Balor and Bayley off the road and NXT can't draw more than 100 people because they do that in Lakeland, Florida with the other folks and they get about 122 people show up. Then they're done. But you need this whole draft is stupid. Just realize how bad it was.
There you go. So it's bad news, right?
Hey, look, I'm going to quote Rob Jenkins. He just wrote this to me and it's prescient with what we've been talking about because it's from an hour ago. They're diluting and devaluing their championships continuously, though. You put the World Heavyweight title on a part-timer, Brock Lesnar makes a huge deal when he shows up to defend it. I mean, he only ended a 20-plus year undefeated streak. No big deal. Recycle Cena, Rusev with the U.S. title. Let the Shield fight over the IC title. All three titles become mega important, like Tully Blanchard to go over in Dusty Rhodes over the TV title. I'm not a fan of this new brand split. Roman would actually be interesting in a Cena feud. And then he says Gato needs to do some freelance booking for Vince. See, because we both agree that he's the best booker. But look, his point is exactly what you just said. It's so weird. I saw that as you were talking. I'm like, well, this is exactly what we're talking about. But I mean, it's not so coincidental that he says that because he watches New Japan and sees them do things correctly. He watched NWA and saw them do things correctly too. And he saw the brand split not work 14 years ago. And he knows that this could be a problem. You what you're doing, it's really simple, is you're cutting the feuds in half. That anyone could have at any given time. Cena wants a feud with Reigns. He's on the wrong show. Sorry.
Well, once again, the wording from Shane and Stephanie and the fact that they had it put out there is getting the world talking about it. And what they're saying is impending brand split or, you know, divisional split.
Right.
But that's not what they said. Okay. So if you look back at what they're talking about here, okay, Shane and Stephanie in this video had said that they will have distinct rosters,
right?
Okay, or they will have distinct situations here. So, but does that mean they have to have a brand split in some ways? I don't know.
Then,
I don't know.
Then comes the wishy-washiness. That was the next chapter in the old brand split. Like, I guess Triple H could be on both shows. And Stone Cold's like, why can't I be? Well, I guess Stone Cold could be on both shows too. And then it's like, well, you know, the Hardys are tag champions. Well, I guess the tag champs would be on both shows. And then the next thing you know,
there's no more brand split.
And it's
no more. Yeah.
All of these things will happen, by the way. They will all happen just like this because they repeat strange things. That's historically, they just repeat the strange things they do. I mean, that's just what they do. It's historical. When I say they, I'm really talking about one person and the people around him, you know?
Right.
But I mean, that's what he does. He does the same things.
So if the WWE does not, well, history will repeat itself if the players do not remember history, right? If you do not learn from your previous mistakes in order to help fix a future situation or current situation, you'll always be stuck in a loop.
But they sell history. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what they sell. He's the custodian of wrestling history. That was the word I couldn't remember 2 weeks ago.
Okay, very good. So I don't know. They're going to need a lot of custodians to clean up this shit because
that's a different type of custodian.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's, you see, hey, look here. You see, I'm also a creative person.
But I knew that was a joke by my humor so dry that.
Yeah, right.
Hey, listen, I don't understand me either.
I want to know from you all. Okay, so our promo is going to be that promo. That's fine.
Probably. I'll send you a WAV file. Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So that is Nakamura and Austin Aries promo of the week. I agree. That's a good one. Austin Aries doing some great mic work. But we'll have to see what happens once again. You know, I think this is going to be a very interesting time, and the future is not so set in stone, which makes the marks crazy because they want control. They want to know they want to be led. They, you know, truth be told, the marks want to be led by the hand by Vince McMahon at all costs. Oh, yeah. They do. Oh, they want that. They want that. You know, and when things don't go their way, that's when they're at their most vocalness. And right now, they don't know what's going on, so therefore, the internet is exploding, and the marks around the world are going, but what? What's going on? What's happening? I can't see a clear line between point A to point B. And when they do see a clear line of point A to point B, they're also going to say, well, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. We expected that. You know, I'm not really impressed by that, and I think it should be rewritten this way. Once again, internet, you cannot win.
The internet will never win, you know. Let me just quote Bob Holly, who's very sweet and kind to my wife and I. He said, internet's a bunch of fucking bullshit. And he said it just like that.
The next part of our show is really quick. What were your thoughts, overall thoughts, on WWE Extreme Rules?
Chapter 10. Disappointing, yet it had 2 4-star matches. The main event was probably the best match. I thought it was as good as the Nakamura-Zane match. I don't think a lot of people want to agree with that, but I know Nakamura's capabilities, and he was holding back in that Zane match. That's what's really funny. Fantastic main event. Roman Reigns, sorry guys, he's getting so good.
He's really good.
I've counted 6 4-plus-star main events in, I think it was 16 months. That's a hell of a track record for a year and a half. AJ Styles, I think Tanahashi, Nakamura, but man, it might be AJ Styles the best in the world. He's so fantastic. Remember when we were talking about, hey, let's see if he gets used to the rings with Jericho. Let's see if Jericho can show him what to do. Well, it seems like he's getting it pretty good now, because that was just a fantastic match. How telling that Nakamura and AJ Styles have had the 2 best WWE matches so far this year, huh? Anyway, I'm just saying. Loved the 4-way ladder match. Was that a ladder match? No, it's just a 4-way match, right? Well, I'm thinking of that. Oh, we'll get to that match. Hold on. The 4-way match, I love the booking, actually. You know, the way they had Miz go over chicken shit at the very... They did that really well. You know, the way he kind of zipped in and took the pin. I'd really like to see Miz Zane as a feud. And I think Kevin Owens is going to move on to maybe a main event program. You know, I would really like to see Kevin Owens against AJ Styles over the SmackDown belt. How about that? And, you know, Cesaro is a jobber. But, no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. He's a jobber. But, those two matches alone. So look, guys, you guys want to watch the pay-per-view. You guys want to analyze these storylines like they're actually written by, you know, Ernest Hemingway and shit. And Francis Ford Coppola directed it. That's fine with me. Me, I just watch when a wrestling match is really awesome. Hey, Steve, go watch Ishii against Naito. It's 4.5 stars. Okay, I'll go watch it. See, that's what I do. And this pay-per-view had 2 of those damn matches. Thank you very much, Vince McMahon. Here's the money.
I liked it. Dude, just on those 2 matches alone. However, I do have some other highlights I thought were pretty good. But just to give everybody the live results, and we can talk about them individually, and sure, I'll probably end up having to split this podcast into 2 parts.
No, it's a 4-hour-long show. Everyone wants to hear it.
Do it. The pre-show, Corbin beat up Dolph Ziggler at 7:07 to a no DQ.
Told you. It was a little better. I thought it was better than last month.
I agree.
Baron Corbin is tall.
Still a nice man. Pay-per-view. The Club Sandwich. Anderson and Gallows beat up the Usos. The Not-So-Samoan SWAT team at 8:37.
The Not-Samoan SWAT team at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Usos, my God, their heat has just turned into a bad situation. Yikes. Club's really boring.
Wait, they got over.
Get rid of them.
Well, the Usos did get over on the Club, and we knew that they'd kind of dominate the Club on TV.
It's easy
to hurts them a little bit more, you know, to say that they got a win on the pay-per-view event that has a gateway of entry for payment to watch still means that in the eyes of a majority of the people that the Club are still jobbers. So that doesn't make really a whole lot of sense to me, but okay, whatever.
Can I make a comment 1 month into it?
Go ahead.
Some fucking Bullet Club.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Right.
I told you I was the only one on the whole internet that said this would happen. I said they were boring jobbers and they wouldn't be called the Bullet Club. They'll be J-Brones in 5 weeks. They're J-Brones. They're boring.
The J-Brones. Yeah. All right. You heard it here first, folks. U.S. title match. Rusev beat Kalisto in submission to win the U.S. title. Yeah, we saw that one coming too.
I just wanted to give myself a pat on the back. Me holding up a picture of the Ultimo Dragon, pointing to it, and saying, Kalisto, you will never, ever be this, is the best thing I've ever done in the show.
And now they actually have a new lucha that's coming. So
what's that guy? Who's that?
I forgot his name.
Who, La Sombra?
Is it La Sombra? Yeah.
What, the guy from Chimelo?
Yeah, they're not calling him that, though.
I know, they changed his name to something stupid. His name.
Yeah,
no, he's fucking awesome. No, I brought that up a while back. I think he'll be the big breakout star of the Latin market if they let it happen.
Already the teaser promos are amazing, so he looks really cool. So
he's awesome.
New Day beat Vaudevillains to retain at 6:20.
Couldn't be more bored if I tried.
Yep, that was pretty bad. IC title match. Now this is to me.
Hold on, real quick. The Vaudevillains have absolutely no heat. There's no sound coming out of the speakers when I watch. I don't hear anything.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet.
Fire them.
Miz pin Cesaro at 18:18 in the 4-way, moving in. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. That to me is match of the year contender because it was really good. I liked it.
It was fantastic. I don't know if I'd go that high with it, but it was better than anything on the last pay-per-view or the one before it. And probably WrestleMania too.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Here was somewhat of an interesting position for the Asylum cage match, Ambrose Jericho, with Jericho getting pinned in a heap of thumbtacks that we did not see coming. Needless to say, we did know that Dirty Deeds onto the thumbtacks would be a very horrible spot. Jericho said it himself on this week's podcast that he was a little, he had butterflies in the stomach regarding that finish. But once again, they made it look like a champ. And at the very end, I started buying into it. I think that the 4-way match let a lot of gas out of the arena at that point. And having this match there kind of with a slow build, I think a lot of people were mixed on this. I did end up buying into it after maybe halfway through, but I started falling asleep, actually.
They cut a Stephanie and Shane 10-minute segment, and then this match got 10 more. And so they did 26 and a half minutes. Brutal.
It was brutal.
That's what happened. If they would have went 16 minutes, it would have just been kind of okay. But what happened was it was a very tedious, boring match. I joked on Twitter like, it's the San Francisco 49ers match from WCW. Honestly, that match was better. And then at the very end, Jericho takes this really gruesome tack bump. And I'm like, well, okay, I guess it's good. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Jericho's a man to take that bump late in life. You know, Flair did that, which really impressed me when Ric Flair did that on the
ECW.
Sure, we could call it ECW show from 2006. I think.
Yeah, with a Big Show, by the way. And that was one of the moments I said, what the F was going on with that? Because
that was heinous. Crazy.
That was heinous.
Well, he started taking tack bumps after that. He started, he did a tack match with Foley, right? And then he took a bunch of tacks in that one. Anyway, tacks are, you know, if you want to fall on some tacks, go have yourself a ball, but maybe cut it to 10 minutes. But that wasn't their fault. I understand what happened. I really think Dean Ambrose is starting to look more and more limited as a worker. And I think the crowd's starting to, you know, people say they've booked him wrong and the crowd senses it. Well, that's true. But to be honest, I think the crowd's starting to just, like, I kind of know his match. And
you know, his gift of gab has been understated. The buildup to this was very, very mild as, I guess, from point A to point B. It was like, are they battling over a jacket? Are they battling over the talk show? What are they really battling about? Does anyone really care what they're battling about? It just seemed to me like it was just very contrived that has to do with the writing staff on this. And I'm sure that they tried putting twists and turns and they made the best they could out of it, the two talents at the end of the day. I don't think they can be blamed for it, but it does leave Dean Ambrose a little bit exposed in his limitations. Yes, he is pretty damn good on the microphone, but as a worker himself, maybe there's a little bit that needs to happen there. I don't know. And they talk a lot about other talent only having 5 moves. Maybe they should look at Dean Ambrose because I think he needs to expand his repertoire just a little bit, in my opinion.
I think he's relied on the hardcore or the PG hardcore, whatever you want to call it, thing for too long. He's been playing this babyface role. He needs some sort of freshening up. You know, I remember when CZW, who I hate, did a feud with Ring of Honor, and he did a match against Bryan Danielson. It might have been our match of the week when Mm-hmm. Ambrose had a main event once, and I forget what it was. But my point is that he can really wrestle, and he seems to have limited himself. That if you watch that match, obviously it's with Daniel Bryan, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. But I think he can do a little bit more than he's done. And I think Chris Jericho, you got to really applaud the guy for doing this shit. I mean, he's really doing a lot of stuff lately. He's really tried very hard, and he's earned his place, and he's earned the right to beat somebody at WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, I agree. Jericho to me is still money. Drink it in, Dean. Drink it in. This is a match that I think had a lot of potential, but was screwed at the very end because of stupid. I'm not an apologist.
No,
I tell people what I think, and have I liked Ryback before? Yeah, okay, so sue me. I don't care. Fuck you. I don't care. But how about this women's title match? Charlotte beat Natalia via submission at 9:30 to retain the women's title. What the hell, man? You have a great match. I thought I was very heavily invested in this match. I wanted to see the Trumpier versus the figure eight. And then at the very end, you had Dana Brooke come out sporting the wannabe Ric Flair robe and the hair and her doing the Ric Flair strut and all that to distract for the win. Are you kidding me? This is how you blow off a feud where everything's on the line. This is what you do. This is what you do. They can't have a competitive match. And this is why people think the WWE sucks and NXT is awesome. Did you ever once see Bayley and Sasha resort to this stupid ass endings that they've had the past three pay-per-views?
Well, who's booking it is the question, right? And I've had it with these whores coming out and ruining the show. This girl is not a worker, and then you get her, she's the reason that this all ends. They should have had two killer matches, and they didn't because they overbooked both of them. The booking sucked. You sound really pissed off, which is great. And it sucked. The booking sucked, and now Dana Brooke has lost Emma as a tag partner to injury. She'll be out about 6 months, it looks like. And now, she's saddled with what's her face?
Charlotte.
Charlotte faced the saddle with her, I should say.
Correct.
And it's terrible. Natalia still didn't get her. I mean, they didn't have the great matches they could have had.
No.
They fucked it up twice now.
Look, you want to see really good match between Natalia and Charlotte? Go to NXT.
Yeah,
we're going to find
really
it.
Good.
You're gonna find it there. You're gonna find it when they wanted to bring up Charlotte initially, and they had Charlotte with Natalia on Raw that one time. Those are the matches that really count. This feud had so much potential, and they fucked it up in so many different ways along the way in pay-per-view after pay-per-view, and now after pay-per-view. They've done it one too many times. Stupid, stupid, stupid. When you bring out the women's title and you say women's wrestling matters, and then you put shenanigans at the period of every one of these pay-per-view matches, that's bad on you, so go fuck yourself. Now I'm pissed.
Damn, I'm pissed. Getting all fucking rowdy.
I am getting hot now. I've never used that type of language, but now I'm using it because I am so pissed off, as they say. And I'm sure the talent just did whatever they were told. They probably didn't like
absolutely
it, but it wasn't their fault. It's not their fault. But you have a veteran like Natalia who says, don't ever turn your back to opponent. Don't ever get distracted. Be very singular. When things are on the line, that's when it matters the most, And then there she is. She's the one that's having to eat her own shit and put over the ending that was written by some other person that is not putting the credence where and the importance of that title where it should be. And it pisses me off because you have somebody on the right-hand side at WWE saying women's wrestling matters to the point where they're going to put competitive physical matches on there. And yet you have another person that says, well, trump all that, I'm going to put a swerve in there and then at the end have a diluted product.
You sound wound up.
Pisses me off.
Let's grab some Screech. We'll go to Midtown. And we'll just slap somebody in the fucking face, see what they do.
It just pisses me off.
No, you're every bit of right to be so fucked. This is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid. And these stupid experiments, they seem to feel free to use on someone like Natalia. Who does have good new ring gear. You were right about that. She's probably just happy to have two straight pay-per-views. Poor Amber.
Of course she is.
They could have had a three-and-a-half-star match, so they won't let them do it.
Well, it could have. I mean, people look back with rose-colored glasses about the Team Bestie, Lita versus Trish, and then they had the opportunity to even do better, to right. do better, and to lead this new women's title into parts unknown. And yet, what do? They put it back into horrible, diva-rific, you know, schmozzy, you know, gimmick schnabitz, as Taz would say, gimmick schnabitz endings. And this is what you have. You have a, just a pile of shit. And the two women there that were supposed to bring this division up were basically slapped in the face by their own creative, you know. And it's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic.
I have nothing more to add. You're so pissed off that I can't possibly do it justice. But you're correct about everything you're saying. It's fucking stupid.
The world title match, but it did go down the way we said it did.
We'll just slap some motherfucker in the face in Midtown. See what they do. But we'll have so much screech in us that we won't even feel it.
Roman Empire defeats AJ Styles at 22-12. In an Extreme Rules match to win or to retain the WWE World title. And at the very end, we have a surprise. So, so I thought the match was highly competitive. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan at the fact that everyone is kicking out of people's finishers so late in the game, multiple times.
Right.
Not a fan of that. However, on its own merits, it was a very drama-filled match. Ending kind of came out of nowhere for me. Like, I think a lot of people said that it was, oh, that was interesting. After taking a finisher, then coming in with your own finisher, and then beating him. I thought it was kind of, I don't know, it just... The ending seemed to be disjuncted, you know. It just but the match overall was pretty good. The ending.
What happened? Wait, you're throwing me off. What did you just say?
No,
what,
I'm just.
What didn't you like about it?
Oh, the ending of the match?
Yeah.
The fact that it just was, I think that the ending to me was just a lot of so many kickouts on finishers. I think that it kind of devalued their finisher a lot of times. And that I don't know, that's just me.
That's okay. I mean, I really thought it was amazing. Like when he started wailing on everybody with the chairs and shit.
Yeah, I did like that. Yeah,
and
I did
then
like
everybody that. Everybody got mad at the end with one spear. It's like, well, that's like a perfectly timed jump from the top rope spear. Like nobody gave that credit. Like how incredibly hard to time that.
He's done that a few times.
AJ's something else, man. He's just, geez. He's
well, they're both the world. Credit to both guys. I'm being a little nitpicky here.
No, it's okay.
It's not. You know, when I look at a 5-star match for a title, I always look at like Michaels versus Razor Ramon, right?
So yeah, it's a 5-star match.
You look at the Iron Man match. You look at
not a 5-star match.
Well, I think it was very good.
Well, so, we can discuss 5-star matches. That would be a really good show.
Yeah, that would be interesting. But the ladder match was a 5-star match to me.
No doubt. And the 5-star match is flawless. You know, that's the deal. It has to be flawless. And this match, you know, maybe it wasn't flawless, but it was a 4.5-star match. That's what I would rate it. I would rate Nakamura versus Sami Zayn 4.5 stars. Okay, 5 stars is Bret Hart. You know, 4.75 stars is a different deal. You know, that
4.75 stars would be Nakamura versus Styles at Wrestle Kingdom. Yes,
right, exactly. see, it's actually really simple. It's just a series of quarter ratings. Tanahashi Okada, I would give 5 stars. I don't know if everybody else would, but they had to do that match after that one.
Yeah, I know.
My God, the pressure. But Tanahashi doesn't care. He just wants to sell his bears and stuff, man. These guys have a lot of merch over.
He wants to sell cookies. That's what he wants. He wants to sell animal crackers.
I think it was crackers. Yeah. I got to find that picture. Selling crackers in Japan. I'm just telling you.
Well, I think
I give it 4.5. I give the ladder match. The 4-way, I give 4.25.
Our resident match rater, Mr. Stephen Anthony, gives every bit of his ratings. I, for me, have a much more simpler way I like to score these things. Is it a buy or no buy? And I buy this because it had several different matches I was very invested in. At the very end of the day, it was well worth the price of admission.
Yes.
So for me, I would watch this again, and I have watched it again.
I did twice, yeah.
And it was very, very, very good. Overall, I would say, you know, if a pay-per-view event has 3 to 4 matches on the card where I've, you know, where on 3 hours, then I believe my money was well spent if I believe that to be rewatchable. So definitely rewatchable, definitely a great buy for me. So WWE Extreme Rules goes down in the books for the first pay-per-view of the new era as being very good.
I thought it was a really, 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 really good pay-per-view, but it should have been a lot better because they fucked up the Charlotte match and that dumbass 10 extra minutes in the Asylum match messed it up. Those two matches, if those two were just good, it would have been one of the best pay-per-views of the last year or two.
I agree.
Mess it up.
I believe that Shane and Stephanie would have introduced the brand split during this night, but they decided, now people are wondering, well, why did they wait to do it here? And I think they just wanted to clear the pay-per-view, but I believe that's what they were going to do, is announce the brand split.
Yeah.
So having said that, last issue on today's docket for our extremely long show, I don't know if we're going to split this up into two different shows, and we probably will, is the Shane McMahon tell-all. So Stone Cold couldn't make the show. Mick Foley goes in his place because Steve Weiser's having a rotator cuff shoulder surgery, whatever the case is, not surgery, but he's rehabbing. So what were your thoughts of this no holds barred interview, which was apparently no holds barred?
It seemed like a lot of holds were barred. It was fine. I didn't really expect anything. It was just as I expected it. Mick Foley's obviously going to do what they tell him. Shane is one of the coolest. I will say this. He is one of the coolest fucking dudes. Like, just the way he talks, the way he dresses. And one more thing. These people keep talking on the internet about the way Shane dresses. You don't know how to... You need to shut the fuck up. I'm not going to say internet people anymore. I'm not going to say that. Do you fucking wrestling fans really think you know how to fucking dress? No. You fucking wrestling fans that think you can go walk into a fucking club and look fucking presentable? You're wearing a fucking Kenny Omega shirt that's like the best thing you own. And you're going to talk about how this motherfucker dresses?
I love the way Shane dresses. He's got great style. He's
fantastic. He dresses fantastic. Everything he wore Monday was fantastic. His pants are fantastic.
His shoes are fantastic.
His shoes are fantastic. His choice of jacket is fantastic. Shirt and tie combo is great. Shut up. You're really out of your element this time. You mean really? You guys are out of your element. Do not talk about fashion.
No, do not talk about
fashion. Please shut up. Yeah. So there, now that I've gotten that out the way, I love you too.
You're as hot about the fashion as I am about.
What's stupid? It's like, I don't like the way he dresses. What the hell do you know about it?
I don't know anything about it.
His shoes cost more than your car. That's like a Ric Flair line I converted.
I love that. Yeah.
I can't wait to tell. I gotta tell you this. Mm-hmm. What you just told me about how our show ends. You know, it's really going to disturb my wife.
What?
The thing you added to the end of the last show.
Oh, yeah.
And now, what is it now?
The Jimmy Valiant rap?
Hold on one second. Here, sit right here. Just bear with me. This is important. Just sit right here. Sweetheart, guess what? Al John has added a Boogeyman Jimmy Valiant rap to the end of the last show.
Great.
See, Terry is afraid of the Boogeyman Jimmy Valiant.
I would be too, because he's kind of crazy.
Does he scare you too?
He's a little bit off his rocker, yes.
You know, he's a really, really strange guy. And I got to tell you, and I know we're running about 58 minutes long here, but I watched an NWA episode, and he had gotten his head shaved by his friend Willie, the one that he was talking about in the promo of the week last week. His name is Manny Fernandez. There's really no reason to call him Willie. I have no idea why he calls him that. He shaves his head. He turns on him. And then they slow fade to the street corner in on the streets, and he's playing a harmonica around 12 empty beer cans, and then a woman with large breasts drives up in a Cadillac and says that she's going to put up her hair. I can't.
That's hilarious.
Let me just say this: 4.5-star match, 4-star match. This guy can't even. He can like barely do like back rakes. And like when he comes on, I'm watching him. It's not all about that, you know. Or it used to be a little bit better. I just can't believe that a Boogeyman Jimmy Valiant rap.
Well, he didn't rap, okay?
I understand that.
Someone basically auto-tuned him and put him into this this rap gimmick.
That's really scary to me. You know, what actually my wife does is she has a Victoria's Secret eye mask. What do you call that when you sleep at night? What do you call that? Sleep mask?
A night mask, yeah.
Right. So when I watch NWA, she has the night mask up here. And when Jimmy Valiant comes on or she hears his music start, I'm being serious with you. She pulls it down. You think I'm joking? And then look, if Manny Fernandez comes out for an interview, she'll just put it on because she knows that this asshole just comes dancing into the frame. You
That's
know?
Great.
He's street people. You know, he's a nice person. He has a nice Yeah, this is a compression mic, so you can hear it. So please, you know, don't talk too loud. Sorry. You know, but I mean, he's a good man. He lives in Virginia. He has a wrestling school. And, you know.
Well, it looks like I'm going to have to just bring back a little bit of the rap and put it in there just so that your wife will be, you know, happy.
Well, like his music starts, it's like a piano riff. Da 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 dum boom. Da 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 dum boom. Da 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 da. You know, like that. When that piano riff hits, da 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 dum boom, she's just like, no, it's fucking. This dude's coming out of you.
Jimmy Valiant. So, okay.
Was that off track? So I did like Shane.
You like Shane? It was an interesting thing, I think, that Mick, God bless Mick, he did his very best.
He's a fucking stooge for the company.
Yeah, you know, he is. You know, you... Yeah, I mean, he is...
that's what he is now, right? That's sad.
Yeah, he's kind of bought and paid for. But you know what? That's cool. I mean, I like Mick a lot. I don't think he was the best person to do the show. I think I would have much preferred to have JBL do it. But if Stone Cold couldn't do it, I don't understand why JBL couldn't do it. But I think it, you know, it is what it is.
JBL would have been much, much, much better. I think they needed someone to lob softballs. That's what I thought when they first announced it. And that's what I thought when I watched it. It was just a little peculiar. No, it wasn't even peculiar. It was just the way it was. And with that whole little Triple H thing. And yeah, well, he makes my sister happy. So good for him. And that's all I got to say. To me, that just sets up Triple H versus Shane at SummerSlam or WrestleMania. And it'll be a good feud and a good, I mean, they'll think it's a good feud and it'll be a good match though.
Oh, it's all a work.
I do think that. I think he would work better with Triple H than a lot of other people because Triple H could figure out a way to have a good match with him. Undertaker, that's a tricky character. You need like Mankind. You need certain type of cat to get that killer match out of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me just say this one more time. You know, for taking that bump, he did that for the fans, that sell bump that he took. He did that just for the fans.
Sure.
He didn't have to do that. Nobody else did it but him. And it's one of the most dangerous bumps ever taken. And nobody's really talking about it. Back in the day, we talk about it forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is true. It is good stuff. I think the Shane show definitely was setting up something at the end of the day, and I think that it could have the takeaway for this is the way that Vince and Shane's relationship is. I think that was probably the key because it seems to me like everybody wants to see the McMahons and see a different side of them, which you did see glimpses of in Stone Cold.
Right.
I don't believe you saw any glimpses of it with the Stephanie Jericho podcast at all. I think that was probably the most corporately rehearsed podcast that they've done. It just to me just was like very fake, disingenuous. I just didn't think it was real. I think that it didn't seem like it was it had any type of spontaneity in it. And I think it was just Stephanie being at her best, and that's what she wants to portray, and I understand that. But in this particular case, there were glimmers that Shane was being a little real, especially in when he was talking about his father.
It's really cool that he got to hang out with Andre the Giant as a kid. And, you know, if you wonder why he's such a tough guy, I mean, he's hanging out with Andre the Giant. You know, he's hanging out in the locker room, and they got, you know, Ernie Ladd's in there. You know what I mean? I mean, that's got to have an impression on you.
And they used to rib him, too. They used to rib him, which was great.
Yeah, they would stretch him. So that's good, you know. I wish I would have gotten stretched when I was young. I'd be a lot tougher now, you know.
Yeah, by Brickhouse Brown, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Brickhouse Brown? I'd slap Brickhouse. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't fuck with Brickhouse Brown.
All right.
I wouldn't fuck with him too much.
It is the end of the show. We've just about touched on everything. That is a huge show for this week. We do appreciate you tuning in once again. ProWrestlingCast.com, the place where you can check out the entire backlog of shows that we have on YouTube as well as podcast form. They are on iTunes, Stitch Radio, TuneIn, and hopefully you'll be able to, you know, I like watching our show on Roku using the YouTube app. It's a really fun thing.
That's how I watch. I watch a Roku player on YouTube because it's usually up there first, and then the next day I'll listen to it because I just listen to podcasts. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
And listen to our show, everybody. It's really good.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And follow us once again, P Wrestling Cast on Twitter, Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook, and interact with us. Don't forget to give our show 5-star reviews and to use all of our shopping links on there.
4.5-star would even be fine. 4.75, 4.75.
Yeah, give us those. No, I let's shoot for the stars. Let's shoot for 5-star reviews and some feedback.
Please.
We would appreciate it from our listeners. Thank you so much for your support of the show. Stephen, where can people find you?
In Nashville. I had Dr. Deathmark on Twitter. I am the mark of doctor for Dr. Death because he needs one. He's in heaven now. He died of cancer, but he had one more match before he died. He had cancer. He wasn't going to have treatment anymore. He was just going to let himself go and pass away, and he still would not job in that match.
Yeah, he's a tough SOB. That
can't job. Sorry.
Dr. Death Mark. Dr. Death Mark. I know I'm coughing in my head right now. I'm still getting over this illness. You can find me at JediMusketeer.com and a lot of geeky stuff on there. All the rest of the podcasts that I do for Marvel, Disney, and Lucasfilm, Star Wars, they're all there. And you can even check out more guitar-oriented tweets that I have at AlJohnRocks if you want to as well. I've got plenty of Twitter things to say about music and things. So I do appreciate that. And don't forget... Yes, go ahead.
Oh, and check out the Yngwie Malmsteen album, Spellbound.
Okay.
It was just released last... Never mind.
Check that out. I'll do it on Spotify. I'll check
No, it's really bad. He sings it. It's terrible.
Oh, does he sing? Oh.
Yeah, it's fucking brutal. It's just brutal. It's just really taking it too far. Go check Welcome out the album, huh?
Welcome to the Yngwie Malmsteen podcast.
Hey, you know what the best... talk about Yngwie. Okay, well, you know what the best Yngwie Malmsteen album is, guys? Eclipse.
Okay, yeah, okay. Okay.
Eclipse, there you go.
Sounds good. Don't forget to tuck your head and Nick Bockwinkle mentioned in this episode for life. That's right. Steven?
I love Nick Bockwinkle. I love the Prince album, Bockwinkle, which I'm still not sure if that's real or not. I'm not really sure. We'll see.
In the meantime, enjoy our promo of the week, and we will see you next time. Take care. Did I say don't forget to tuck your head?
Yeah, you did. You did say that. You said Nick Bockwinkle for life, and don't forget to tuck your head.
Okay, awesome.
Bruiser Brody's never job, okay? Okay.
No, all right. Promo of the
week. Is everything. And at the time that I walked in the door of NXT, there were other people who were grabbing all the attention. But all that's gonna stop. All that is about to change. Because after Samoa Joe and Finn Balor settled their rivalry in the steel cage, no matter which one comes out on top, I'm making the statement right now, it is simply a matter of time before Austin Aries is the NXT champion.
Sorry. You don't understand Japanese, right?
I don't understand you.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, NXT Championship not coming to greatness. Coming to King or Strong Style.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.